Now, alongside solving the problem of where to put people, you still have the question of how a megacity can actually function. Thousands of people living on top of each other in a small place, needing to travel, work, socialise and stay healthy, can cause problems ranging from congestion to crime. Later, we'll hear how scientists are working on ways to measure air quality and how this might be linked to diseases like asthma. But first, Richard Bellingham is the director of Strathclyde University's Institute of Future Cities, which is seeking to improve the quality of human life in urban areas by using big data. Hi, Richard. So what exactly is your initiative doing?
Well, we're doing research in a number of areas. We're looking at how we make cities more sustainable. We're looking at how we make city systems more reliable. So dealing with risk and resilience in terms of short-term shocks like disasters or extreme weather events, but also longer-term social and demographic impacts like the loss of populations or the loss of jobs. So an example of that would be Detroit, where the shrinkage of the economy has led to the loss of two-thirds of its population. We're also looking at health and public policy issues such as crime, for example.
So how exactly do you use the data you gather to do something like predict and try and tackle crime?
What we do is we take hundreds of different data sets, both historic and live feeds, and we look at the relationship between that data. We correlate it to see if there are relationships and causal relationships. And we also create what are called simulation models into intelligent agent modeling, where we can look at the behavior of how people walking along a street might become a victim or indeed a criminal.
So you're looking at perhaps the areas that are most likely to have crime in them and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we know from previous research that there are some factors which are well known, such as the availability of alcohol, poverty. So those are longer term factors, but we're also interested in the shorter term variation in things caused by things like the weather or the availability of transport or sporting events or even what's on TV. And then thinking about, okay, so what's the accuracy with which we can predict that a particular type of crime will occur on a given street within a given time frame, and then how do we make it less likely that that would occur in the future?
So that was going to be my next question, actually. Once you know that it's the right weather for crime or whatever, what do you do about it?
There are some factors, for example, like street lighting, can be used to make it less likely that particular types of crime occur. It's not true for all types of crime. I mean, some crimes occur in the daylight. So we know that, you know, street lighting doesn't work all the time. But we know things like using different colours and intensity of street lighting can influence behaviours. And we know that also in some cities, they've tried doing things like pulsing the street lights to indicate that the police are aware that something is happening and they're on their way. And this has actually been proved to be, by and large, just as effective as the presence of a police car, once people understand that there's a relationship there.
So these are the crime-fighting lampposts we've been talking about. You can actually change the colour of them to change people's behaviour. How does that work?
Well, if light is whiter, for example, it means that it's actually easier to recognise people. And that means people feel less secure about engaging in criminal behaviour if the light is brighter and whiter. Also, if the light is brighter, it means that the general public also feel more secure about using the streets in ways that are more constructive, more comfortable. And if there are more people on the streets, it's actually less likely that person-to-person crimes occur in the first place.
Fascinating. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these crime-fighting lampposts in cities near us soon. That was Richard Bellingham from the University of Strathclyde.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Ginny Smith.